Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
As you know, our study in Romans chapter 16, the closing verses, has caused us to consider the prophecy of Joel as cited and interpreted by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2. And we are doing this to test what seems to be a biblically given hermeneutic, a God-given rule of biblical interpretation found in Romans chapter 16, namely that the Old Testament scriptures ought to be interpreted in the light of the New, since some of the Old Testament scriptures contained mystery, deliberately concealed by God until the coming of Christ and the New Testament illumination that sheds light upon the mysteries of the Old Testament scriptures. And that's what Romans chapter 16 states. That's what a couple of other passages in the New Testament tell us. And that seems to be borne out by our examination of Acts chapter 2, where Peter is quoting Joel chapter 2. And Peter says that Joel predicted the activities of the day of Pentecost. Peter is explaining this phenomenon of the Christians speaking in tongues. No, it's not drunkenness. These people aren't drunk, as some of you are saying, seeing this is only the third hour of the day. But, said Peter, Acts 2:16, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel's prediction in chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, foresaw the day of Pentecost. And the very things that are taking place now, said Peter to the people of his day, with the mighty rushing wind and the men of that day speaking, the men and women of that day speaking in tongues. I think this pretty well establishes, therefore, that it was all the people of that 120 that were speaking in tongues, not just the apostles. Why? Because there had to be some women there, some maidens. Now he quotes from Joel, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now let's look at these verses from Joel in the light of the day of Pentecost. That's what Peter says it is. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So, take line 1. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. In the last days. What does this tell us? This tells us that the last days were the days when Peter was speaking on the day of Pentecost. So, we've got to adjust our thinking about the last days to include this information. Now, what you will find, if you will study that term, the last days, the latter days, similar phrases in the New Testament, you will realize that this refers to the days since the coming of Christ. That Christ, when he came, ushered in the last days. And we have been living in the last days ever since the first coming of Christ. Now, that may not fit your previous concept and understanding and interpretation of that concept of the last days. But when the Bible speaks, you've got to listen. And when the Bible says something that's contrary to what you have previously thought, you've got to change. This is an inspired apostle of Jesus Christ speaking what is inevitably inspired Scripture. The inerrant, infallible Word of God says that Joel's prophecy pertains to the last days, and Peter says that pertains to Pentecost. So, the last days were present on the day of Pentecost. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Now, this interprets for us, this explains for us what all flesh means. What does that mean? All kinds of people. In this particular case, it turns out to be male, female, young and old, preachers and lay people. It turns out that they're actually, on this particular occasion, all Christian Jews, all Jewish followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, since we know that the phenomenon of tongues was not confined to Pentecost, and it went on to touch all kinds of Christians, Gentile as well as Jew, that would lead us to understand that he's talking about all kinds of people in the sense of Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, male, female, that kind of all that you find a lot of in the New Testament. Well, that's what this means. It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That is, all kinds of people without distinction. Not all people without exception. There's no occasion where God pours out His Spirit on every individual in all the world. And that certainly is not what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit did not fall upon anyone but believers, but it fell on all believers in Jesus Christ, regardless of their class or category, their station, their gender, their position in the church, whether they were apostles of Christ or not, whether they were preachers or not, whether they had been some of the 70 sent out 2 by 2 by Jesus Christ or not, whether they were male or female, whether they were young or old, all kinds. And that helps us to understand that kind of language all throughout the New Testament. All flesh, all people, all of this or that doesn't mean every individual without exception. This tells us that infallibly. This is the Word of God. Joel's prophecy means that God will pour out His Spirit on all kinds of people, like He did on the day of Pentecost and throughout the early years of the church in the first century. So, this is very helpful in our understanding of Scripture and in our interpretation of it, not only here, but elsewhere. He goes on to say, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Well, this helps us understand what that term prophecy means. We have certain ideas in mind what prophecy is. We think prophecy, some people think that prophecy is always predicting the future. Well, we don't know that any of the people who were speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost were saying anything about the future. In fact, we know what they were doing. They were proclaiming in various languages the wonderful works of God, right? That's what we are told. When this occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? So they were all amazed and perplexed. We hear them speaking, verse 11, in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. That's what they were saying. So prophesying is not predicting the future. Prophesying is proclaiming the truth about God. Prophesying is proclaiming the Word of God. Prophesying is proclaiming the gospel. Prophesying is proclaiming the glory of God. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. You say, I don't see any evidence of that taking place on the day of Pentecost. And actually, I don't either. So that means we have to think about this. Is this confined only to the day of Pentecost, when Peter says this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, or is this something which begins on the day of Pentecost? Because we do find some other examples in the New Testament of visions, like Agabus the prophet, and like the daughters of Philip, and a few other occasions where there were both men and women who received divine revelation that involved various things. Some of it was predictive of the future, of what was going to befall Paul later on and so forth. And it's very likely that some of this came to them in the form of dreams. So that probably indicates that what Peter is saying is not that this is confined entirely to what happened on the day of Pentecost, but this begins something which continues on, at least for a little while. I don't think it lasted beyond the era of the apostles. I think it was all confined to the time when the apostles walked upon the earth, but it was an ongoing event, at least for a few years, and it involved a lot of different people. We either would need to say that, or we would need to say that this is a figure of speech. Your young men see visions, your old men shall dream dreams is simply a poetic way of talking about people speaking as empowered by the Holy Spirit, as the people did on the day of Pentecost when they spoke in tongues. And that's possible, because then we have to do something with that next section. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth beneath, flood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now some will say, well, that part has to be future to Peter. That part has to be the second coming of Christ. Well, I would not say that that's impossible, but I would say it's more likely that it has to do with the same time frame as the first and the last part of Joel's prophecy. Because the last part is, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we know that that has to do with the gospel age, the age in which we live, the last days being the gospel age, and this whole idea that whosoever, Jew or Gentile, whosoever, male or female, whosoever, bond or free, whosoever, rich or poor, whosoever, barbarian or Scythian, cultured or uncultured, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, is very much a gospel age promise and has to do with the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth that was ushered in with the coming of Christ and continues on because of the commission which he gave to his disciples. So if the first part of the prophecy pertains to the day of Pentecost and what happened immediately thereafter, and the last part of the prophecy pertains to the same period and what happened immediately thereafter, then why do we think that this middle part doesn't pertain to that period? I must confess that the middle part is more puzzling. How are we to understand these signs in the heavens above and the wonders beneath and the moon turning to blood and so forth? I don't have time to offer any suggestions, but I would say we ought to at least examine the possibility that all of this pertains to the same period, because that would seem to suit the statement of Peter, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.